Do our children really love the true, good, and beautiful? How are their affections actually formed? We know it's certainly more than just information in a textbook. Well, my guest today is the founder of the Ambleside Schools, now with 20 campuses around the world. It's a school based on the influential British educator Charlotte Mason, whose insights are ever needed in classical Christian schools and in homes around the country. Join us as we talk about how to best raise up the next generation on this episode of Basecamp Live.
Mountains, we all face them. Basecamp Live will equip you to conquer the biggest mountains when raising the next generation. Each week, you'll hear from culture watchers, thought leaders, and storytellers who know the tools you'll need to summit the peak and shape exceptionally thoughtful, compassionate, and flourishing human beings. Welcome to Basecamp Live, and now your host, Davies Owens.
So Kelly, it's good to have you back in the studio. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I love having you here, just being able to kind of set up these episodes with some questions. So my question for you today is just, did your parents or did adults in your life growing up say to you, hey Kelly, do what I say, not what I do. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's an old mantra among parents.
I mean, it's just so bankrupt. I mean, it's like, you know, don't smoke while I chain smoke in front of you. Like that
exactly.
Just, it doesn't convince. And you know, I think a lot of education today in comparison to classical Christian is this idea that, look, it's basically education's information, and you know, you just chunk down, here's your periodic table of the elements, which is good to memorize, but let's go through all of that, and then what you really love and what you care about, well, you know, figure that stuff out later.
No, I think you're exactly right, and an example comes to mind. You know, we talk about in the classical Christian world that grades are not the ultimate measure of your education, right? And the shaping of your affections and loving truth and goodness and beauty. And I remember talking to a teacher a couple of years ago who had a student who didn't end up with an A in this teacher's class, and I think was somewhere in the C range or something along those lines. But that teacher commenting to me that student getting a C was the best grade that he had ever given a student, because the student came along and learned all the things that we would want them to learn, rightly ordering affections, understanding how to deal with adversity. And that student watching that teacher treat him or her with the respect and dignity and taking the time to help develop those things, whether they got an A or not, and still letting that student know they were a success, that's catching it instead of being taught it, right? You're not talking at that kid. They're seeing how you learn, and they're seeing how you teach, and they're seeing how you care for them and shaping their soul and their affections.
And it's really scary because as a parent, you think, how often am I doing something that I didn't really mean to do that's now actually teaching them more than the very thing I said to them?
Yeah.
And for classroom teachers, I think this is the real – if I had a – universal criticism of classical Christian education, it's that we're really good at showing all the great books to read, but we're not really consistent in explaining how we teach those.
Yep.
And if we're not careful, we end up looking a lot like the John Dewey Progressive School down the street because we just told them to memorize all this stuff, and it didn't really cause them to love it and to be pursuing true, good, and beautiful. So our guest today, I think, can help us with some of this. Dr. Bill St. Cyr is the founder of the Ambleside Schools. They are Charlotte Mason schools, started back in around 2000. He and his wife, he is a psychologist and really understands a lot of brain science and how human thinking occurs. Counselor, amazing biography of his life I love to talk about. But what's amazing about Bill is that he and his wife started these schools around the British educator Charlotte Mason's methodology, which I think is super complementary to what we do. She's really classical, but she was able to talk about, here's the way that you affect what kids love and what they want to pursue in a classroom context, but also at home. So I think it's pretty practical stuff, but it sounds great. Pursue the true, good, and the beautiful.
Right.
But what in the world does that mean? You can't put that on a test and put a grade on it.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
All right. Let's listen to this interview with Bill St. Cyr. Welcome to Basecamp Live. Davies Owens here with Bill St. Cyr. How are you, Bill?
Davies, I'm doing well. It's a joy to hear you. I've appreciated our friendship for years, and it's nice to do something together like this.
Well, we've been hoping for a long time to get together here and have you on the podcast. You have been a great encourager and influence to me, and I know to many, and I'd love for folks to hear your story. We actually have listeners that write in and say, hey, can you do a podcast on Charlotte Mason? We keep hearing about Charlotte Mason, and we're not really sure who she was or what her influence was on education, and I know certainly for those of us in classical Christian schools, there's a lot of Charlotte Mason In fact, my school in Atlanta, we called ourselves a classical Charlotte Mason school. So I'd love to hear some of your story. You've got a fascinating journey, PhD in pastoral counseling. At one point, you were assistant chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and then you and your wife, Mary Ellen, back in 99, started the Ambleside schools there in Fredericksburg, Texas. But tell us a little bit of your journey. Like, who is a Charlotte Mason person, and how did you come to start a whole group of schools around her philosophy of education?
Well, Davies, to be honest, I married into it. But my whole life has been around questions of human formation. I mean, back to youth ministry and work on college campuses, the passion of my heart was, how is it that we bring people up to maturity? How do I grow in maturity? As one of my mentors said to me once, the most important person to reach with the gospel is yourself. And so how is it that the gospel could transform me, and how is it that it could transform others, and what does it really mean to disciple? So that was what much of my life was about, really most of it. And I was single for 43 years, as was Mary Ellen. And when we met, we both had well-developed ministries. I had a professional counseling practice. And if you came to see me, you were typically a committed Christ follower who was trying to believe the right things, do the right things, but life was anything but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And just memorizing one more Bible verse was likely to just make you feel more guilty.
Sure.
And so I had been on a quest in terms of questions of human formation and had come to some conclusions. Then I met this woman, Mary Ellen, who had given her life to the educating of children, and she had early on discovered Charlotte Mason's writings and became convinced that that's what that her principles were optimal for child formation, for the forming of children's hearts.
And Bill, if I could just inject, because I just to season the story a bit, because it's, and I know we don't have a lot of time on this, but she was a part of a Christian school in the Atlanta area. I was in the same community, and I know she started looking at Charlotte Mason and became so enamored that spent some time actually in England, where Charlotte Mason was originally started her schools back in the late 19th, early 20th century, and came back and said, this is too good just to modify a school. We need to build this thing from the ground up. And it was a pretty powerful story.
Indeed, and that's what she did. And she and I met as she was in the initial building phases, praying about writing curriculum for the first Ambleside school. And one of the requirements for dating, she would say the only requirement for dating her, was that I read the 6 volumes of this British educator who lived 100 years ago.
That is some commitment on your part. Wow.
Well, she was well worth it.
Well, good to know.
And so I started to read Charlotte Mason, and I was astounded at what I read. And what I discovered was, here was a woman who lived 100 years before me, but who had come to fundamentally the same conclusions about the dynamics of human formation. She, through her work with teachers and children, me through my discipleship ministries, counseling ministry, but fundamentally the same conclusion. So there was that great resonance. And now, once Mary Ellen and I got engaged, we had a decision to make. You see, we lived 600 miles apart from each other. She had just opened the first Ambleside school, and I had an established counseling practice. And what really, one of the things that made the decision for us was, I was sitting on a picnic table watching the students and teachers play and interact. And I had this thought, if children could have this kind of formation for a dozen years, they'd be so much less likely to be in my counseling office. Wow. 20 years later.
Yeah.
So I closed my counseling practice, moved to the little town of Fredericksburg, Texas, and we launched on this endeavor together.
So what did you see, Bill, at this, on the picnic table, that I'm sure folks are listening saying, what is so unique about this woman from 100 years ago? I mean, what is it that really compelled you, especially as one who knows deeply the way human brains are formed and habits and best practices and as you say, formation of our of the souls of our children and of their identity. Like, what is it that's so profound about her understanding of education?
Well, one of her maxims, Davies, is that education is the science of relations. And by that, she meant that we must know and understand the dynamics of the relationship a child will have with mathematics, with the stars and the heavens, with work, mm-hmm. with their little brother and little sister, with parents, with authority, and that the art of education is bringing children up into optimal relations in each of these areas. And one of the things that I noticed sitting there was that was what was happening. For instance, a child falls and scrapes a knee. Now, that's a distressing event. One of the more important developmental tasks is to learn how to manage emotional distress well and stay your best self. I mean, you can imagine the 28-year-old who doesn't do that. And it's not pretty.
I think it's called adult adolescence. It's pretty prevalent today.
On the other hand, what we've forgotten as a culture, that it's a learned skill, that it's a neurophysiological habit, and that it can be instructed. And so to see the kind of engagement, say, a teacher has with a student when the student falls, scrapes a knee, is in distress, and there's a way of engaging a student that helps bring that student back to peace and to joy, and the student learns how to recover. And so that's just one of many skills that I could witness going on. As the number of smiles, I mean, I visit I don't know how many, 100 classrooms plus every year. And one of the first things I look for is a number of smiles. Hmm. Yeah, and because if the teacher goes bright-faced with students, I mean, we know from brain research that the brain functions in an optimal way when it's in a high joy state.
Yeah.
And what joy is it's good to be me here with you. And brain functioning declines whenever there's anxiety. So a lot of these insights, Charlotte Mason had 100 years ago. I mean, she didn't know the actual brain science behind it, although she knew a surprising amount. I mean, she was an early advocate of what we now call neuroplasticity. But she actually believed that when we educate children, when we form habits, we're establishing neural networks that empower children to act in a certain way.
Right. So I think, because I think so much of even in our classical Christian environments, we certainly have, I would argue, better content. We can prove, hey, look, we read 125 or 150 of the greatest books of Western civilization as opposed to some pre-digested textbook somewhere. I guess that argument's easy to make. The harder part is that so often we can still fall into the trap of teaching in a very progressive kind of John Deweyan way, where it's just, here's your bucket of information, go memorize it and put it back on the test. And we're just as guilty. And we've missed out on this. I love the term of Charlotte Mason, joyful discovery, of really bringing the ideas alive. And your idea of, her idea of a mind-on-mind engagement, where you're actually bringing the child before this great thinker, and there's this living, breathing moment of interaction. So maybe say a little bit more about that, because it's fascinating how engaging education can be when it's done in this type of way that you're describing.
Yeah, I mean, the question is really the difference between knowledge of content and asking kind of a binary question: do they know? Do they not know? Can they? Versus what is the quality of their relationship? I mean, one of the things we, you know, it just, if you think of something like sixth grade history, I mean, everything you or I learned in sixth grade history, a good book on the beach for a week, we can learn. The question is, would you ever pick up the book?
Right. Right.
Would you understand that these people who live, persons and civilizations who lived 100, 1,000 years, 2,000 years ago, can shape me? I can learn from them. Do I know how to delight in history, or do I know how to delight in mathematics? How are the affections shaped? And she was really a master of shaping the affections.
Yeah.
It's a good question to ask ourselves. At the end of the day, are we primarily rational creatures, or are we emotional, relational creatures?
Right.
Is it the setting of the intellect or the setting of the affections?
And that's exactly...
And I think she...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's very Augustinian. You might remember St. Augustine from the 400, late 4th, early 5th century. And he argued that the most important thing were the right ordering of our loves, that we loved things, desired things in the right way.
Yeah.
And, he is only following Jesus' exhortation in terms of the nature of the great commandments.
Yeah. Well, and that's, we talk a lot here on Basecamp about that. Ultimately, at the end of the day, to raise the next generation, we've got to help form and inform them of what to love. If they love things that are true, good, and beautiful, that becomes a part of their formation, for the character of who they are. And that's exactly what you're talking about. So, well, Bill, your story is fascinating. We're going to take a quick break. I want to come back in just a moment. It's amazing. Your humble beginnings in 1999 in Fredericksburg, Texas. You guys, there are now how many Ambleside schools around the country? 20 plus?
We're up to 15 in the United States, 4 in South Africa, and 1 in Nigeria.
That is so unbelievable. And all around the country, AmblesideSchools.com. People can read more about your school and what you're doing. But I want to take a break, and we'll come back and hear more about sort of this unique perspective that Charlotte Mason has on how we learn to love, and think of some, we'll unpack some ways that we can even help our own children be encouraged to dive deep into being creative and discovering the world around them with great passion, which is something I've certainly seen through a lot of the things like picture studies and nature studies and other aspects of what she teaches. So we'll be right back with Basecamp Live.
Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at AmblesideSchools.com.
Welcome back to Basecamp Live, here on the phone with Dr. Bill St. Cyr with the Ambleside Schools. Bill, it is super exciting to talk about what Charlotte Mason discovered over 100 years ago, and growing up in her world in industrialized England, probably not too unlike our very technical world that we live in. And so often the very important task of forming our children's hearts is lost in the process of pounding them with information to get them ready for SATs and college and all of those things. And I'm sure everyone listening says, hey, this is great. I'm glad you guys are all excited about Charlotte Mason, but help me understand, what are some takeaways? And maybe just in the final half here, Bill, what are some takeaways that folks could maybe put into place when it comes to just simply, how do I better shape the heart of my child? What does that look like?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is to realize that our affections, our desires are caught like we catch the flu.
That's timely.
It's much more important what mom and dad are going bright-faced over, or our school community is going bright-faced over, than what they say is important. So step into a place. If you want to know what the community, how the community is shaping the affections of a child, ask yourself, in this community, what does everyone go bright-faced over?
Bright-faced as in what? Yeah, bright-faced meaning what they're excited about, what they celebrate.
Yeah, and it's there's a certain kind of, by bright face, think of the mother who sees her newborn baby and goes, her face just lights up, because there's a difference between that and the thrill of a roller coaster ride.
Mm.
So actually, the thrill of a roller coaster ride doesn't have the same effect. But when we see that kind of deep brightness. This is really good. It's really good to be me here with you in the midst of this. So that kind of bright-faced. Children look and they see that and they say, that's the good stuff. So if our communities are going bright-faced over grades, over certain kinds of awards, we're training the hearts of our children to believe that's the important stuff.
Yeah.
But if they're going bright-faced over a new insight, a task in which I've done my best and it's well done, then I'm shaping the heart in a very different way. It's because of this Charlotte Mason talked about the importance of the emotional, relational atmosphere of any kind of school. Because every school will have the things it celebrates, the things it truly goes bright-faced over. Mm. Every home will have the things it celebrates, it really goes bright-faced over. And it will have the things that it goes downcast, where people go downcast. And that's how the hearts of children are shaped in a very profound way.
And that's a really scary, it's scary to think about, Bill, because you think about how often we as parents and our weariness can be grumbling and tired and complaining or anything but bright-faced. So I know we don't have to do it perfectly, but that is a good reminder. And as you're saying that, I would just inject kind of a personal testimony. I had the privilege a couple of years ago of spending a week with you in Fredericksburg at the Ambleside School there, going through kind of a teacher boot camp week. And it was definitely intimidating having to, for 3 days, be a student. And you actually gave us homework and we lived this thing out. And I'll never forget, I think it was a history class and we were studying, I think it was where the history of the clock came from and the railroads and all of that. And as an adult sitting there at the end of that conversation, I did not want to go to lunch. I was so interested in this topic. And I thought, this is unbelievable. I'm getting excited about sixth grade history as an adult because it was so winsomely presented and discussed. So I have a sense of what you're talking about there.
Okay. So if we want to shape the hearts of our children, first thing, be attentive to what we go bright-faced over and what we go downcast over.
Okay.
Second, be attentive to your child. We all have weaknesses. It's a given. We're sinners. And by God's grace, we're growing and recovering, but we all have things to work on. I mean, one of the challenges I can give parents and teachers is be proactive rather than reactive. Imagine this. Imagine you would discern two weaknesses that your child has. Perhaps it's they're unkind to siblings. Perhaps they have the habit of dark thoughts as opposed to the habit of sweet thoughts. Perhaps they have a habit of sloth rather than the habit of working diligently. Whatever the child's current weaknesses are, do not imagine that they will just go away. We tend not to grow out of our weaknesses without giving specific attention to our weaknesses. So my challenge to both parents and teachers alike is identify two weaknesses of your child or of your student that if 9 months from now that weakness could be turned to a strength, then they'd be in a whole different place. I mean, you and I, we both know what our weaknesses are, and you know, I can imagine how if 50 years ago somebody had come alongside me and identified a particular weakness and walked with me through it such that that weakness became a strength. I mean, how much grace that would have been. Mm. I mean, what a wonderful thing if the weaknesses we as adults carry now, someone had come alongside when we were 8, 9, 10 and specifically addressed them. And so what we tell our teachers is identify two weaknesses and make that your prayer list. And parents can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And begin to pray, Lord, release my son from his habit of laziness. Lord, release my daughter from her habit of of a sharp tongue. Lord, help my son find joy in hard work. And so to begin to pray, and it's particularly powerful, you can get mom and dad praying together, or teacher, mom, and dad all praying together. And for the next 9 months, these are the two most important things we're going to be working on. And then pray, Lord, make me your instrument. And discern how you're going to address those issues lovingly but clearly, how you're going to do a reset on the affections or on the behavior. And so that's the two things that come to mind first and foremost. Whatever you celebrate at home will be celebrated in their hearts. Whatever your disdain at home will be disdained in their hearts.
Those are really, really helpful, Bill. And I think it's just, if nothing else, just the fact that you said just pick two, because I'm sure at times just the sheer volume of things that we think need to be addressed in our lives of our children, it can be overwhelming. So I love the idea of, and giving it a long view, 9 months. This isn't a fix it tomorrow kind of thing. And then pray about it and bring others into that prayer. Those are really good reminders. So good. We definitely need more of this encouragement, Bill. Thanks for pointing us in that direction. And thanks for giving us an overview of kind of who Charlotte Mason was and how she continues to influence. So I guess just in the final few minutes, if folks want to know more about the Ambleside Schools and what you guys are doing and your resources, where should folks go and what's out there for them?
Sure. We'd welcome them to visit our website at www.ambleside.com. There are many resources. Probably the best primer on Charlotte Mason's ideas is if you go to our homepage and click on the videos tab at the top, there are about 21 5 to 7 minute YouTube style videos that give an overview of Charlotte Mason's philosophy. Also in our library, there are many, many resources that you might enjoy and appreciate.
I was just going to say those videos are super helpful. We've actually, from time to time, used those as part of a resources for our teachers and teacher training, and it's been much appreciated.
And we also run trainings at our school. So we've got a 3-day internship, which persons might be interested in. And then there's the Summer Institute. I guess you've attended both an internship and a summer.
I'm kind of a groupie, Bill. I think I've been to at least two of the 3 days and then the full week, as I was describing earlier with my history lesson. And you do such a great job because it's not just a theory of, you literally turn into a student with homework. And it was, I'm still sort of recognizing how much I didn't get when I was a kid, having experienced 3 days there as a student. Then you flip, turn the tables, and you turn us into teachers. So those of you, if you're listening and you're an educator, it would be a great experience to go for that week. And then we sent teams of teachers from my school in Atlanta to you there at Fredericksburg for the 3 days. So lots of great resources for sure. And we really appreciate it. So, well, Bill, thank you for your time today. I would love to have you back on and tackle some things like Charlotte Mason's understanding of habits, which is central to her thinking and very practical for us as we raise up the next generation. But thank you again for being a part of the podcast today.
All right. Thank you, Dave. It's a joy being with you, as
All
always.
Right. Well, tell Mary God Ellen bless. Hello, and we will hopefully have her on next time as well. So thanks again.
You've been listening to Basecamp Live with Davies Owens. You know, raising the next generation isn't easy, so we hope you're refreshed and encouraged by what you've heard today. And if so, please invite others to listen. You can subscribe at basecamplive.com, and we would invite you to join the conversation about ancient future education. info@basecamplive.com is that address. Please shoot us a message. We'd love to hear from you, and thanks again for joining us.